Welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado, Colorado's premier outdoor radio show, heard every Saturday afternoon on KLZ 560, with insights on hunting, fishing, archery, guns, and ammo from Colorado's top outfitters, featuring the industry's leading experts on how to enhance your experience in the great outdoors. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope everyone's enjoying a great weekend. Hopefully the sunshine will hang out a little bit more before the storms roll back in. This has been quite an unusual month or so. And so with our weather, so just be safe and hopefully everyone can stay safe out there. Our lines are open. We're going to really ask for your calls today. We normally... we'll throw out the number, but we have a lot of guests in, and we do have guests today. But we want to talk about a topic today for some of the show about the anti-hunters. I'm telling you, getting pretty serious out there when they're writing back saying you should die. Different comments like that. I mean, there's a lot going on out there. So we're going to talk about that. But first of all, let me give a proper welcome to all my guests. First of all, Red Merrill, our co-host. Red,
how you doing, Scott? Yeah, it's good to be here.
And we got Kevin Flesh in studio. Kevin, how are you?
I'm good. Clean shaven red today.
Yep. Yeah,
a little,
you know,
throwing me off a little bit.
And boy, I tell you, I think he's getting a little in the head here. Everybody's saying, Red, you look 30 years younger.
He does.
He looks way younger.
Yeah. At least.
Yeah. Of course, when you looked 110, now that just means he looks 70.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah. I'll go along with that.
And then we welcome in studio some real good friends, and we have a great time every time they're here. We've got Lisa Thompson. She's a pro staffer with Mossy Oak and Cabela's. Welcome, ma'am.
Thank you. Nice
and
to see you guys.
Donnell Johnson, she's also pro staff with Mossy Oak and Bass Pro. So we want to welcome them in studio. By the way, it's a Tanner Gun Show. I was out there a little bit this morning. Go by and see Phoenix Weaponry. They've got their booth out there. And they're doing a lot of great things for us. Now, if you'll mention, they are a sponsor actually with our show and also with Drive Radio. If you'll go out there and either one you want to remember, Drive Radio, Sportsman of Colorado, if you will mention us, they will give you 10% off of a custom-built weapon. And don't let that custom-built fool you. They can do anything, and AR is up from about $900 on up. So be sure and check them out, Phoenix Weaponry, and they will take great care of you. Again, our number is 303-477-5600. So, guys, first of all, let's catch up. Been a while since y'all been in. What have you been up to besides playing tennis and locking keys in your car? Oh, I didn't mean to say that. You know what? I am so happy it happens to females. You lock your keys. And, man, if I was your husband, I would write this down forever.
Now, we just want to give a shout-out to the Castle Rock firemen and the policemen. They got us taken care of quickly so we could get here and be with you.
Now,
awesome.
Somehow, I think if we would have locked our keys in the car, Kevin, the fire guys would have just rolled by and said, sorry, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's too bad. I got stuff to do.
Yeah.
It's the tennis skirt.
I don't know.
Yeah. I know. And every time Red puts one of those on, we just don't get the attention that we deserve.
Well, you know, I've been wondering, why doesn't anybody call me to be a pro staffer?
Yeah. You
know? And it's got to have to do something with that skirt. So
yes.
I tried that, but still nobody has called.
Even our opponents wouldn't leave. We said, you guys can go now. I mean, the fire department's coming, and they're like, no, we want to stay. The fire truck's coming. I go, you just want to see the firemen, don't you? And they're like, yes, we do.
So what have you guys been up to? Donnell, we'll start with you. What have y'all been up to?
We did some turkey hunting. We both got Merriam's and we both got Easterns. And I just couldn't close the gap on a Rio. Almost got him in about 8 days difference.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, my son-in-law just graduated from college, so I got to go out to Missouri. So Lisa came with us, and we both got really nice Easterns out there this year. So
oh, good deal.
Where were you hunting your Rio?
The Rio's on my dad's place in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
So I came through there, my dad's 80th birthday. We started out doing Merriam's with the Primal Instinct show down by Trinidad. So we were trying to actually do it for the Outdoor Channel, but I wouldn't say we captured any quality video. It's tough, the mountain birds. It was funny because it was new for them. They kept saying, Merriam's are dumb. You know, I'm like, no, I don't think, that's not been my experience. Not the mountain birds. We don't have the corn feeder and the, you know, it's tough.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
to try to get that set up with the film crew and all that, they had all kinds of fun gear, but... So I learned a lot about videography. It was pretty cool.
I tell you, first of all, you see, there's a lot in that. They will shoot hours and hours and hours of footage. Trevin Stolfus, which he's got a really cool program that's airing tonight. I believe it's 5 p.m. our time on the Sportsman's Channel on an Ibex hunt. You got to watch that. He sent me the whole deal. I've already watched it, and it is amazing. So check that out. But he says they will spend 15 hours editing for a 22-minute segment.
Well, and the biggest thing that's the downfall is you start out in the tent with, you know, the cameraman, and we've got our bows and all that stuff, and then we're trying to chase and go after and set up again, and every time we could have had a shot, you know, he's not set up yet, so we had to pass on shots, and so it was very it's frustrating when you're used to, you know, going pretty light, you know.
Sure.
So. It looks so easy on TV,
no,
right?
No, doesn't it? Yeah. Words
right, exactly.
So that will not be the show you see with us.
Well, a lot of those that you do see on TV, that they're in states that they let them feed them,
right?
You know, to a certain degree, and then they're patterned.
Yeah.
And in Colorado, that's illegal. You can't do that. So, you know, we're chasing wild birds. We're not chasing the ones that are in all these people's yards. That's illegal, but we're chasing wild birds. So it's definitely harder.
You mean I'm going to have to take that feeder?
Yeah. It's going illegal.
I didn't know about that.
The best turkey hunting around is in King Supers
in the frozen food section.
Yeah.
So. Now, were you doing archery, or were you using?
We started out archery. We switched
to
shotgun. Yeah, the Eastern I got, I actually belly crawled about 500 yards. I had my son-in-law behind me crow calling and helping me. I mean, he's giving me thumbs up, thumbs down. That's not as fun there because you get to pull a lot of ticks off you. So I'm not sure I'd be as avid as a hunter there.
Have you seen a product called TurkeyFan.com?
Mm-hmm.
Where they
the guy sent us a couple of those.
Yeah.
So we haven't had a chance to use them yet, except when it rained. But but it's really cool, and they've got the turkey, and you just throw out the umbrella, and you can get behind it, and you can put an iPhone or a GoPro.
We have some good footage because we teach a lot of turkey classes. So I play one where the guy does that, and all of a sudden when that tom starts coming in on him to come fight him, he comes so fast the guy couldn't get the fan down in time, and he actually missed because the bird was so close when he shot. So you know, he pops that down, and the turkey's like, whoa! You know, anyway.
So it works pretty good.
Yeah, it does work. It does work, so.
Again, our number is 303-477-5600. If you've got it kind of any outdoor question, we'll just open it up today. Again, we have our pro staffers in the house, so we will take on anything. First of all, just a quick programming note, and I want to try to mention this a couple of times. Next Saturday, we will be live from the Outdoorsman Attic. They're located at 2650 West Hamden in Sheridan, just right off of Santa Fe, right past Santa Fe on Hamden. You can exit Federal, or if you're familiar with that area, there's a Corvette dealership right there on the corner. You can take a right behind that dealership, and you'll see the Outdoorsman Attic there on your left. But we will be there next week from 1 to 2, and that's 2650 West Hamden. And I told you guys a few minutes before the show here, I wanted to talk about this with the anti-hunters. You guys face it too. Just what are some of your thoughts? And y'all can.
You know, for me, I look at things, and because some of the comments are, you know, why would you teach your kids to, you know, mutilate something? And that's not what hunting is. You need to come out with me, because 90% of the time I'm an armed hiker and I'm out in the great outdoors getting in shape. And the ladies today are like, you guys spend a lot of time in the gym. I'm like, no, we spend a lot of time hiking in the mountains. I mean, but it keeps us in shape. But I look at things because I just, becoming an empty nester, I have three kids. And the thing that allows me to connect with them is getting away from everything and sitting on the side of the mountain doing photography together and talking. And it's not about mutilating and murdering, as a lot of people say. And in fact, most of the people, the average in Colorado is you shoot an elk once every 5 years. So you spend a lot of quality time getting to know each other, and your cell phones rarely work. And I mean, our app with our hunting software does, but in terms of social media and all of that. So for my son, I think about one of my best memories with my son, who's now 20, was when Lisa and I took him out and he shot a 322 Pope and Young bull with his bow. And we went out 5 weekends. I mean, literally, he was starting to go weary. But anyway, I just look at it as quality for me, friends and family time.
Let's go to the phones real quick. We got Mike on the phone. He's been holding for a few minutes. Mike's in Westminster. Mike, how are you, sir? Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay, bud. How are you?
Oh, not bad. Last week, somebody was talking about not hiking to go hunting because of the snow.
Right.
He needs to get tracks put on his Silverado.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No kidding. I would like some of those. I need to find a good sponsor for that.
Anyway, that's all I had to say.
All right, man. Where do you like to hunt?
I don't. I just heard it off the drive radio.
Oh, okay. All right, good deal.
Well, thank you for calling, Mike.
Yeah, thanks for listening to Drive Radio as well. So,
yeah, you know, Red isn't into the hiking as the last caller just suggested. Yeah.
You know, I used to love to go and hike up and down the mountains, and especially hunting. You know, when I was younger and in great shape, well, man, I loved to do the hard work and get up and go after them. But I've had 7 knee operations, and they just don't work good anymore. And,
right.
And that's why I love hunting from the truck.
But
that's not illegal, is it?
No, not in your
you
yard.
Can't shoot from the truck
when you're shooting the turkeys.
Not in South Africa.
Well, I can't hear too well. Red's always shooting across the window at me. You know. But here's something that's pretty interesting. It said, according to data from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, women are the fastest growing group of hunters in the country. While the number of young men picking up the sport has taken a nosedive, we'll try to figure out why that is in just a minute. In the last 30 years, participation by young women has increased. And a lot of women will talk about using hunting as a way to connect, just like Donnell said, with family, she says. So a number of women will say, I want to go out with my kids, and it's a way for all of our family to be together. I want to spend more time with my dad, and this is a way I can connect with him. And then a few comments after that. Going out with my kids to blast wildlife to smithereens? No, thank you. I'm trying to raise my children to be kind, compassionate adults who respect animals, not massacre them. And that's the mind. I mean, I think they think we just go out there and just
shoot them up.
Shoot whatever. Yeah. And, you know, and I hate to use the word educate, because I think when you say we need to educate them, I'm talking down to them. I'm not trying to do that. Mm-hmm. But it is an education process, I guess, Kevin.
Well, it is. It's one of those things where, you know, my kids in particular, what I've seen is it makes them recognize the chicken fillets that they're eating and the other things that, oh, wait a second, these animals, you know, their lives have died for this process too. And it really helps, I think, kids and people that are in their formative years be able to understand that this just, you know, food just doesn't pop up out of the air.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, Kevin, if anyone would ever go to a slaughterhouse, a beef yeah. slaughterhouse or a hog slaughterhouse or chicken, I guarantee hunting in many cases is a lot more humane than what happens in theirs. And I'm not saying anything bad about that. That's just the way it is. There's no easy way to kill an animal.
There isn't.
No. And
not in a mass production.
No.
I mean, especially, I mean, if you went to a cattle slaughterhouse, I mean, it's crazy. That only helps the argument, though, really. I mean, the issue is people who don't understand how it goes. We're talking about ethical hunting,
right.
Obviously.
Right, right.
We're talking about, we want to make sure that it's a clean kill. We want to make sure that the animal doesn't suffer in any way. That's the really most important thing about the hunting experience from the standpoint of when you get to that point where you have to make a shot, you want a good, clean shot because you want that animal not to suffer. And that's where that conversation has to happen.
And for us as a family, it's organic meat. I mean, there's no additives.
Right.
And it's the next best thing next to chicken and fish, you know. So it's for us, it's part of our staple food every year to get an elk or deer. Both.
Yeah, and the subsistence part of it is definitely something that people forget about that really don't understand the whole process. People are really taking these things and using it.
Right. We've got to take a short break, come back. We're going to let Lisa chime in on this as well. But we welcome your calls, 303-477-5600. And again, next Saturday, June 13th, we will be live at the Outdoorsman Attic. They're located at 2650 West Hamden. We'll be right back.
Tired of going into a gun shop after hearing an ad only to find they have only a few guns and no ammo? Get into the zone, the Reloading Zone. From handguns to ARs, the Reloading Zone has it all. Need to get your concealed carry permit? Reloading Zone has a few openings this month. Call now, 303-431-GUNS. That's 303-431-4867. Check out their website, thereloadingzone.com. Get into the zone. The Reloading Zone.
Hi, Dan Johnson, General Manager of Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. And if you're trying to sell your car or truck, be careful of online advertising. There's lots of scammers and criminals that make their living on the internet. Lynn Lyle Chevrolet will pay top dollar for your used vehicle in just 15 minutes, and the money is good. On the web at LynnLyleChevy.com.
Have you been involved in an auto accident, slip and fall, or any other personal injury? I'm Kevin Flesh with Flesh Law, and I've been protecting victims' rights for over 17 years. If you want aggressive representation that will get you the money you deserve, then call me at 303-884-1037 or visit my website at fleshlaw.com. That's Flesh, F-L-E-S-C-H. I will give you the personal service you deserve, starting with a free consultation. Call me 303-884-1037 or visit me at fleshlaw.com.
This is Red Merrill for Phoenix Weaponry. Phoenix Weaponry is a weapon manufacturer that services the firearm enthusiast. From precision ARs to suppressors, Phoenix Weaponry can make your dreams come true. Phoenix Weaponry is a full-service gun shop that offers gunsmithing, coating, and modifications to your own weapon. Phoenix Weaponry, family-owned and operated right here in Colorado. If you can dream it, Phoenix Weaponry can build it. Call today, 720-340-2496. Again, that's 720-340-2496. Or visit their website, phoenixweaponry.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 10% off your custom-built weapon.
Dana Lash, 8 p.m. weeknights on KLZ 560.
Well, I can't stand to look at you now. This revelation's out of my hands.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Scott Whatley. We got Red Merrill in studio, Kevin Flesh, Lisa Thompson, and Donnell Johnson, both pro staffers with Mossy Oak and Cabela's and Bass Pro, respectively. And so our lines are open if you have any questions for them. I'm telling you, these gals know how to do it. Very successful in the outdoors. Parents bringing their kids up in the outdoors as well. So if you've got any questions or comments, give us a call, 303-477-5600. So, Lisa, let's go back. Your comments kind of on the whole anti-hunting crowd that just seemed to be very bitter towards us.
Well, I found out they're not just anti-hunting. They're kind of anti a lot of things. So, but for me, I came out of a hunting family from a small, that's all I knew in Montana. I'm a native of Montana. And we hunt, my family, my grandma, my aunts, my uncles, cousins. We grew up for food. If we went fishing, we kept it and we ate it. And if we hunted, we went and got our animal if we could, and we ate it. And to this day, I don't hunt anything I don't eat. And I think people, like Scott, you just came back from South Africa. I don't think people realize that even when you can't bring all the meat back from South Africa, you just fed a village.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I mean, all your meat goes to, I went to Alaska. My brother got a huge moose. We couldn't get it all back. And you can't believe the village people that came and begged, or we gave them some moose meat. And so it wasn't like we're just out there hunting for trophies. We're hunting for meat. At the end of the day, it's our food. And, you know, it's, believe it or not, but I'm a Christian and I believe in the Bible. And it says right there, God put animals on the earth for us to eat.
Sure.
And it's right there. And so to me, I just, that's all I know. And that's the way I, so to argue this, these are people that they would probably argue everything from religion to politics to hunting. So I've tried
to go back because I try to be respectful of people. Mm-hmm. If they say something negative. I mean, I had a lady call me this week, said she was going to unfriend me on Facebook because she hated my pictures in South Africa. Now, I didn't apologize, but I said, you know what? I respect your feelings. And I do respect her feelings, mm-hmm. Okay? But it's something to where, do you guys think that the whole Disney animation of animals where animals are talking and lions are friends with zebras, all that, do you think that
we become friends with them, and the point of like they're members of our family, mm-hmm. And that's not the way it is. So yeah. I don't know.
Well, you know, Lisa, one thing you said, you're a Christian. All of us in this room are Christians, mm-hmm. And I believe very strongly that you know, that God created the animals, mm-hmm. for the purpose for man, for man's benefit, regardless of what benefit that is, whether you use them in labor or you use them for food or you use them for the enjoyment of the hunt. And that is very, very much sanctioned by God. And so in a lot of ways, I have seen that this elevation of animals to a higher status is actually an anti-God sentiment. And because people who are against hunting wind up being against God, because yeah. God gave man dominion over the animals and told us to right. kill and eat. And
I would agree with that. And again, I mean, I respect people's comments on this stuff. That's great. But honestly, it's more than this to me. than hunting with these certain people, and that's fine. They're entitled to their opinion. We live in a free country. Thank you, veterans and everyone that's fighting for our country. But they're entitled to it. But these are people, honestly, I don't even try to argue with them because it's more than I believe it's more than this. I
mean, most of my hunting friends are very respective of wildlife and different things. I mean, that's the thing. I think we appreciate it. And and maybe there's a few people that go out there and destroy the image. But
I mean, we went to Kruger National Park with cameras, needless to say,
right,
and loved seeing animals. I mean, we were like, wow, look at those elephants. Look at that. You know,
Did we think every once in a while one through a crosshair?
Yeah. You bet. But I mean, but we still enjoy nature.
Right. We had a turkey hunt last year. We went out and we found a crow pecking on a baby saw-whet owl. Not a baby. She was a mother. She had a nest. And anyway, long story, we ended up rescuing the owl, took it to raptor rescue. My husband said, only you would go hunting and rescue an owl. Yeah. But I mean, I think we're respective of nature. We appreciate things when you get out in nature more. We're picking up trash when we're out there. I mean, it's just.
Right. I would just invite someone like that, and I would love to show them. In Montana, I saw it quite often in the winters, and I have a home down in Creed, Colorado, where we saw it about 5 years ago. Just go watch the elk and deer starve to death.
Yes.
Just go watch them when the ground's froze, and there's 3 and 4 feet of snow, and we lost almost all of our residential herd died in the spring because of they didn't let us start feeding them. And it was the hunters and the people that cared that started feeding them because the DOW said we could, but it was too late. There's nothing more grueling to watch an animal starve to death.
Yeah, right.
And again, I agree with Red. We're at the top of the food chain. It's how it was from the beginning. And God put us at the top of the food chain for a reason.
And Parks and Wildlife manage that. That's why they have tags for some units and they limit how many go in there. I mean, we were on a committee 3 years ago where they're trying to figure out how to handle the overpopulation in Estes Park. It's like if there's not some method of management, but there is. It's managed very tightly and people disagree how that is sometimes,
sure.
but
I disagree with that.
Yeah. Nonetheless, it is managed, and so, like Lisa said, if they're not taken care of and it gets out of balance, then you have problems.
Let's go to the phones. We've got Trent on the line. Trent's in Denver. Trent, you're on Sportsman of Colorado. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Yeah, I have a question. My hunting partner and I just drew 2 ranching for wildlife tags for northern Colorado. And have some questions about that. We're getting ready to contact the ranch manager up there. Do you think we'll be allowed to do some scouting up there? Because it says the ranch rules there will be no guides available.
I would think that's up to each individual landowner of what, you know, they will allow. And, I'd certainly push for that. And congrats on drawing those tags.
Well, thank you, yeah.
Hey, can we get your name and email to
Matt,
our
producer,
and we will send you a map of that unit. I'll email it to you.
Oh, that'd be great.
And
they'll
show you where the elk are concentrated.
Yeah, they own a company as well, Hunt Data, and this is a terrific map setup, really, for your iPhone, iPad, and a really, really terrific map. So leave your name and number with our Matt here. Don't hang up, and then we'll get you that.
Oh, that'd be really fantastic. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I would call the local rancher and just ask. I think every ranch is different. So
yeah,
that's our first thought. We'll give that ranch manager a call and find out what we're allowed to do.
Are you going archery or muzzle, rifle? Or
This is rifle. We have either sex tags for Snake River Ranch up north.
Okay, good. Well, stay in touch with us after and let us know.
How many points did it take you?
Well, definitely. Thank you.
How many points did it take you?
It took 7.
7.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. All right, Trent. Hey, man, we appreciate you listening. All right.
So I've got to ask, because I've never heard of this. How does that work where you get a tag and for a particular ranch?
Ranching for wildlife, only a Colorado resident can apply, out-of-state can't, but they manage it just like all the other units. There's X amount of points, and that's also in our other software, Big Game CD. It shows you how many points it takes for each season. But ranching for wildlife is managed pretty well, and there's usually a lot of nice animals.
So, but this individual has gotten this tag.
He applied. He had 7 points. He applied with that hunt code
right.
for that ranching for wildlife. It's, 0. 010, whatever it is, and you apply for that specific. That's where our big game CD, which we haven't gave, but if you want to give one away, I'll mail it to somebody. Okay. It's a great one for managing your points and where you want to hunt.
But this fellow has gotten this tag, and then he doesn't have any relationship with this ranch?
Right, but the ranch has X amount of tags that they sell and X amount of tags that through the draw.
Oh, okay.
And so usually you will be guided. Oh, they don't let you just take off in their ranch.
It kind of surprises me it's not guided.
Yeah, that it's not guided.
It usually is.
I was just going to say, so you show up and say, hey, here's my tag. Let me on your land.
Yeah. No, they usually even have lodging that you stay at.
So it's really, you've just gotten, they're normally, I would assume, managed well too. So when you get, it's a coveted, right. Coveted
tag.
Like
she says, most of the time there's some nice animals.
Right.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
tell you where you can hunt and where you can't. Sometimes some of them I know will guide you, as in because they want to make sure that you're not doing something you're not.
Right.
I mean, it's a they can't go anywhere in the unit. They can only hunt on that ranch.
Right.
But it's ranching for wildlife, and it usually takes.
It's usually
a lot of
pretty successful.
Points.
The success rates are high.
I would assume so.
Because they have to manage their animals too, because all the animals move down to private land, and they're destroying their fences, their hay fields, and they can't feed 250 cattle and 600 elk. I mean, they have to manage them.
I mean, you think about it from a rancher's standpoint. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's a great example. I mean, here's an example of where all of these things come together for these animals.
Well,
right?
They actually give out tags that are called damage dispersal.
Yeah,
so when the elk are, you know, knocking their fence down, and I mean, think about it from a rancher's standpoint, they can't handle if they're trying to have cattle there as well. So they can only handle so many.
All right. So Donnell has given me permission to give one of these away. This is Hunt Data's Colorado Hunting Unit Maps. This is a 3D Google Earth. Goes for your iPhone, iPad, Droid, digital maps, and it is a great package. This is probably, what, $100?
$100 at Cabela's or Bass Pro.
$100 at Cabela's or Bass Pro, and it's absolutely free. We'll take the first caller, 303-477-5600, and we'll get this to you. And so
I got to get on the phone, Scott.
I'll be right back.
Hi, Kevin. You're on Sportsman. next Saturday. From 1 to 2, we will be live at the Outdoorsman Attic. And let me just, if you're not familiar with this store, they used to be in Inglewood on Broadway. This is a consignment store for the outdoors. And I'm telling you, I think the reason why there's not too many of these stores is guys don't get rid of things too much, okay? So whether it's camping equipment, camo, they have guns. They sell all licenses there, by the way. They sell ammo. And right now, between now and next Saturday, they're going to do 20% off. Now, that does not include ammo or firearms, but 20% off in the store if you mention Sportsman of Colorado. We're up against another break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about conservation and about these young ladies and their hunts upcoming. This is Sportsman of Colorado. We'll be right back.
For over 30 years, Academy Roofing has been serving Colorado with great customer service. Let me tell you why I am so happy that I chose Academy Roofing. They were efficient, on time, and their cleanup was perfect after my roof was completed. As an A-plus member with the Better Business Bureau, Academy Roofing brings the knowledge and experience you need in a roofing contractor. Call now, 303-360-0708, or visit academyroofinginc.com. At Academy Roofing, your roof is our reputation. Academy Roofing is an official registered company of HaystackHelp.com.
Are you tired of not having a place to hunt or fish? Or maybe you just don't know where to even start to find your next outdoor adventure? This is Kevin Flesh for Colorado Outdoor Sports. Since 2001, Colorado Outdoor Sports has been providing outdoor opportunities to sportsmen with the benefits that only private land can offer. Colorado Outdoor Sports offers over 40,000 acres of private land. Kids under 16 hunt does and cows for free on club property. Call now, 303-460-0273. That's 303-460-0273. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 50% off the initiation fee. Call now, 303-460-0273, or visit their website. Call now, 303-460-0273, or visit their website, ColoradoOutdoorsports.com.
This is Scott Watley for my friends at Rampart Firearms in Sedalia. This is a great store, family owned and operated. They buy, sell, trade, and consign firearms. You will find a great selection of new and pre-owned handguns, shotguns, and rifles. If you can't find the gun you want, Rampart Firearms will special order your gun at no extra cost. Found a gun on the internet? Rampart Firearms will do one firearm transfer and the background check for only $10 if you mention Sportsman of Colorado. Rampart Firearms, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050. Located at Highway 66. 37 in Santa Fe in Sedalia. Rampart Firearms opens 7 days a week. 720-468-0050.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekday afternoons at 3 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Scott Watley. Got Kevin Flesh in studio, Red Merrill. Lisa Thompson, Pro Staffer, Mossy Oak. Cabela's, Donnell Johnson, Pro Staff, Mossy Oak. Bass Pro. And we just added another entity, and that is Nocturnal, which is awesome. So that's cool. So this is our winner on the line here, Matt. I guess Matt's talking to him. Okay, we've got our winner there. So for the Colorado hunting maps, check out huntdata.com. I'm telling you. Anytime you see them, the most time we're at the International Sportsman's Expo together. They do a lot of talks around town at Cabela's and Bass Pro. Go check these maps out. I promise you, they are awesome and well needed there. And we've got a couple events we want to tell you about. August 15th and 16th, you'll be at Cabela's, Lone Tree, and Thornton. So the 15th Lone Tree.
Mm-hmm.
And the 16th, they'll be in Thornton.
They check out our website. We'll have dates and times.
Okay, at huntdata.com. And then June 27th, they'll be at the Wildlife Experience building. And I think that's kind of changed hands a little bit right now.
Right.
But right there off of Lincoln. And what are you going to be doing at that event?
It's the Rocky Mountain Goat and Sheep Show. So everybody who drew a goat and sheep tag, but we have a booth there. So anybody could come in and come see us because we're sitting in a booth all day long from 8 to 5. So if they want to get product or they want help with their product, we're there. So.
Maybe we'll come over and do a show for
you. Could.
That
you
would
could.
Be fun.
That's a Saturday.
That'd be great. Yeah.
That'd be a great event for you guys because these guys are pretty excited. They've waited 13, 14 years to draw these tags.
Right.
So they feel like they've won the lottery.
We're going to be live June 27th.
from the wildlife.
Yeah, we'll do a show from over there. That'd be cool.
We'll have a booth you can set up.
All right. So let's talk about a couple of new things for archery hunters. We were just kind of talking during the break.
Brand new this year, we can actually have lighted nocks now, and we can also have like GoPro cameras on our bow or gun. You cannot have like an iPhone mount because there's apps that actually do range finding, so you can't do that. But you can do like a GoPro or a lighted nock. Lighted nock, we've had it. We've used them in Oklahoma, and it's helped us find the animal, especially when you shoot them like about 30 minutes before sundown.
Yep.
It's a great advantage. I mean, not for killing, but for retrieving.
Retrieving,
exactly. Yeah. So I'm so glad they've done that.
There's been a lot of argument over years here in Colorado of having them or not having them, and the Bow Hunters Association has fought hard for that. And obviously it worked, and we get them this year. But being a bow hunter for over, 30 years now, for me, looking for my animal, I think I look a long time anyway, days, but I would look even more days if I was looking for. Most of the lighted nocks are 24 hours long, and they're pretty easy to see. Even sometimes if they break an arrow off or something, you know which way to go. And when there's no snow, you just need help. And so I believe this is my opinion, that I think people will look longer and harder for their animal bow hunting.
Mm-hmm. Gives them more confidence that there's something that they'll be able to see that's unnatural.
It even helps you really see where the shot placement is and everything, because that all happens so quick, and it helps you see the shot placement. It's a cool thing.
They are cool. When you see them on the video, you know, and you can just follow that arrow even on the video.
Yeah.
And,
there's no guessing like, well, I hit them great or I hit them too high. You pretty much see it go all the way in from the moment it leaves your bow.
Right. So what do you guys got lined up for the fall?
I'm going to be a grandma, so that's new. So I didn't apply for my normal coveted
tag. Better than being a mom.
That's what I hear. Congratulations. But we're going to just do some over-the-counter archery hunting. I actually drew a bear tag, so I'm going to try to get a bear with my bow this year. I'm kind of excited about that. So tell them what you got.
I drew an antelope. I had 13 preference points, and I drew an antelope tag. So I'll be up there running around looking for that nice antelope. But, again, I don't shoot anything I don't eat, so I'll be eating them too. But I'm really excited for that. But elk tags, we're just doing over-the-counter. And all you people out there that have over-the-counter tags, there's lots of great places to hunt. And we have the maps to help you. We show you the elk concentrations. And that's what Donnell and I use. We use our product to know in an over-the-counter area of where to go.
I had a client call 3 days ago. He said, he's from Texas. I drew a 70 mule deer tag. He said, I'm hunting blind. And I said, well, you don't have to, because he got a mule deer concentration map from us. actually got a land use map, and then I sent him the electronic ones. And you see a summer range where it's predominantly private, but there's some BLM pieces that come in, and that's why I said go up there, do some scouting. So that helps you know where to go scout. You know, you can't guarantee an animal. You still got to hunt and do all the good things, but you can at least get into where they're concentrated. It's a 10-year study on that. So 90% of the herd had to keep coming back five out of those 10 years. So it gets you into where I use over-the-counter. I'll pop into a new unit I've never hunted, and I'll get into animals the first or second day there. So it's great stuff.
Yeah, Donnell, you mentioned, you know, a 10-year study and, and different things like that. And who pays for those studies?
Our tax dollars do. No, it's Parks and Wildlife. It's the biologists and
The Colorado Parks and Wildlife does
not get any taxes. It's our hunters.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife does not get any tax money. It's all from the sale of hunting and fishing licenses.
And the rescue fund, too. A lot of people don't realize that the rescue fund, that when they're rescuing people that are lost in the backcountry.
And, you know, back to talking about conservation, the thing that it takes to increase the population of any kind of animals and to conserve those animals is money. It takes money to have habitat. It takes money to increase the number of those animals. And all of that money comes from hunting and fishing.
That's right. You're right.
It doesn't come from taxes. Those people out there that are complaining about us going out and killing animals.
Is Red about to fall off his soapbox?
I think Red is, yes, he's getting close. You're right up on the edge.
But I just want to add, it's the second biggest industry in Colorado. Yes. Skiing is number one, and people don't realize what it does for the mom and pops that have hotels.
Yeah,
and hunting is a huge industry for the state. Yeah. So.
And all of you people out there that hate hunters, why don't you put your money where your mouth is? You know, we're the ones that are spending our money and promoting the conservation of game and the increase of habitat, which is the number one way to increase the population of game. Why don't y'all spend some of your money on that instead of shooting your mouth off?
It's just and the money they invest back into lands that people can go backpacking, bicycling, whatever you're doing. But it's an amazing.
The biggest conservationist that I know, and even down to the stores of the Bass Pros, Cabela's, Gander, Sportsman's Warehouse stuff, they're huge conservationists.
Absolutely.
Without them, we wouldn't have the lands that we do, the public lands that we do, the open spaces that we do. Mm-hmm. And you're right, though, Red. The money comes from the hunters and the fishermen and stuff like that. And so kind of do your homework if you're going to say comments like this. That's all I would tell somebody.
Right. A couple of things on conservation. I'm going to have Kevin hit a couple of things here. Here's something about in 1907, 41,000 elk remained in North America. Thanks to the money, which we were just talking about, and hard work invested by hunters to restore and conserve habitat, today there are more than 1 million. Here's another one. In 1900, only 500,000 whitetail remained. Again, thanks to conservation work spearheaded by hunters, today there are more than 32 million.
Wow.
In 1900, only 100,000 wild turkeys remained. Thanks to hunters today, there's more than 7 million.
Yeah, growing up in Wisconsin, I remember as a kid, no turkeys in the southern part of the state. And now turkeys are everywhere. I mean, that's a success story right there. And just, it's amazing what, growing up, my dad was really involved in Trout Unlimited and all of the conservation efforts that are done there. What volunteers do, what people that are really passionate about their particular, whatever they want to do, hunting or fishing, and how they make sure that those things continue to happen for not only their generation, but for generations.
And a couple of points to Red's point here. Through state licenses and fees, hunters pay $796 million a year for conservation programs. Through donations to groups like Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, hunters add $440 million a year to conservation efforts. That's a lot of money.
And, you know, it's not just money, too, on the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Scott. They put in a lot of hard labor. One of the things that actually kills a lot of elk is old fences that are left from from leases from, 100 years ago when they putting barbed wire fences up. And the elk run into those and get tangled up in them, and then they can't get loose, and they wind up starving to death. And the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation has several different times a year where a group of them will go out to an area and go through that area and take down all the old fences and roll them up and take them out. And, you know, because they love those animals, not only for the sake of hunting them, but for the sake of their grandeur and the beauty and the wildlife and the whole thing. And very few other In fact, I don't know of any other group that goes out and does that.
Yeah.
And it's the hunters that are conserving the game.
Right. Kevin, we kind of talked about, you know, people going on other people's land. We've talked about out-of-staters coming here. And sometimes it is flat hard to tell what's public, private land.
Yeah.
And we can make an honest mistake. And
you can
go through all the things. And if you're just joining us, Kevin's our resident attorney here. Kevin has a great law firm here. He handles criminal law and personal injury as well. And also, with Kevin being an outdoorsman as he is, he can also handle wildlife violations, anything like that you may get into. And so Kevin's
from
number.
The truck.
Yeah.
Shooting for the truck.
The reason why we had to bring Kevin in is for Red. Okay, yeah, yeah.
That's
so
right.
Kevin's number is 3.
I'm generally blindfolded when I'm in Red's truck, so I'm not a witness.
Kevin's number is 303-806-8886, and highly recommend you put that in your phone. But what's just a couple of points that we got to keep in mind?
So you're absolutely right, and we're talking about mapping here. I mean, trespassing is something that you have to be really concerned about. And in fact, it's not only yourself being on private land, but being on public land and shooting over into private land. That is a huge issue. I had a 3-day trial about 12 years ago down in Gunnison where that happened, where a fellow was on public land but shot into private land and shot an elk. The wildlife was there. They saw what happened. Landowner was there, and it became a really big deal. And so you just need to know where you're at, and you need to know where the animals are at. Same thing with, fishing. Colorado, private land on rivers and waterways, you can't be on the ground. You can be in the water, but you can't actually step foot on those private areas. Montana, we were talking about before the show, there it's the high water mark, and then it's public. So every state is different. So what the biggest thing you want to do, especially if you're going to a new area, is you want to have these maps.
Right.
You want to spend some time just like you would scouting, and you want to make sure that you're in the right places. Because if you're not, it's a criminal. I mean, it's a misdemeanor.
That's the beauty of it. When you're on your iPhone, that's you run off GPS, so the blue dot shows you if you're on white for private or gold for BLM. That's
exactly right.
But yeah, we had a friend that shot it on public, and the animal went over and died on private. So he went and asked the rancher for permission, and the son said, "Oh, sure, go get it." He went over there carrying his bow, and he got a 20-point violation.
Yeah.
Because the owner didn't say I signed and said you could.
Right. That's exactly right. And that's the other thing, is that you have two implications relating to that. You have your Division of Wildlife, the points issue, and then you also have the criminal side with just the trespassing if the landowner is that serious about it. So it's just something you don't mess around with. I mean,
so if you do get permission, it needs to be written.
It does.
And written from the landowner.
And you want to make sure that you're confirming that it's the landowner, not just an agent.
Right. Not just somebody saying, oh, yeah, cool, go on, check it out.
Right.
Yeah. And the Colorado Parks and Wildlife, I mean, yay or nay of who you are, but they cross their T's and dot their I's a lot of times in the regs. And I can't tell you how many people that we teach classes to and we talk to that don't understand preference points, don't have any of the rules. What you guys are talking there, it talks about get permission from the landowner. It spells it out what you should do. But I bet you 0.01% even read the beginning of the regulations.
You're right.
They go to their units, but if they looked at what's new and just kind of read 4 pages of the regulations, that's all there, but nobody does that. And I really encourage people, as homework, you need to look at your regs. They send them to you for a reason. So again, it's your own fault, I meant, to a degree, that you didn't have the tools, because the tools are there. It's how you have to apply them.
Well, and we're talking about your mapping program, just any not only your mapping program, right, but anyone. I mean, the money that you spend in that, $100, $150, right? I mean, because you get into these situations, and they're now criminal. I mean, it's a significant, serious issue, not only if you're privileged to hunt, but also just fines and costs and potential jail time, depending upon your criminal history and the last time that you shot out of the truck and that sort of thing. You know, there's a lot that you have to be concerned about.
Well, if you make a mistake and turn yourself in, it's a misdemeanor. If you make a mistake and walk, it's a felony.
That's right. And, you know, it's like the guy that we were talking to a few weeks ago up in Montana with the animal that he shot up there. I mean, things progress so fast in some of these situations, depending upon this Division of Wildlife officer, that they're once again, they're essentially police officers when they're in that role. And so a lot of them act that way because that's what they're trained to do. And so you get yourself into a situation that you don't want to be in.
And one thing, too, and then we got to hit a break here, but let's say you take a deer here in Colorado, you drive over to Nebraska.
That's a
now,
big deal.
If there's something wrong with that, you're talking federal.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because you're transporting an animal across state lines. And so that's a big deal. But we also run into it with federal lands, that you're going to have an offense that's a federal offense if you're on federal lands, depending upon where you're at in the state. I mean, I represent people. I've got a case right now with a fellow that had some trouble on one of the Air Force bases here. It's not a municipal court violation. It's not a state violation. You're in front of a federal judge.
Oh, wow.
And it becomes pretty significant, pretty serious, pretty fast. And so those are the things you've got to just be thinking about it. I mean, there's aspects of what we do for recreation that can become very serious very quickly.
Absolutely. We got to take a short break. This is Sportsman of Colorado. We'll be right back.
If you're looking for a place you're always welcome, let me recommend Kiowa Creek Sporting Club. Hi, this is Scott Watley. Just 20 miles east of Denver, Kiowa Creek has it all. A professionally designed sporting clays course, archery range, and year-round dog training fields. Be sure and leave time to relax in the spacious clubhouse. For all Kiowa Creek Sporting Club has to offer, call 303-644-4627 or check out their website, kiowacreek.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado, and with your one-year membership purchase, you'll receive 100 free sporting clays. Call 303-644-4627. That's 303-644-4627. Kiowa Creek Sporting Club is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
If you want to save money on a new Chevrolet, you're making a big mistake if you don't shop Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. We have the lowest prices and the highest trade-in values. This month, we are offering 15% off most new Chevrolets. Lynn Lyle Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax, or on the web at LynnLyleChevy.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at One Shot Gear in Englewood. If you are a hunter, you know that after a full year of training, shooting, and planning, when the season rolls around, you are lucky to get one shot at a trophy. At One Shot Gear, they've got you covered with the largest selection of premium hunting gear in Colorado, like Blosser rifles, Sitka gear, and Night Force optics. The One Shot Gear team has the experience, so they can help you find exactly what you need for the hunt of a lifetime. When only the best will do, choose One Shot Gear, located at 4720 South Santa Fe Circle in Englewood. One Shot Gear is your premium hunting gear headquarters. Call 303-284-3828. That's 303-284-3828. If Sitka makes it, One Shot Gear has it. They're the largest stocking dealer in Colorado. Ask for Grant. Tell him Sportsman of Colorado sent you. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and today only receive 10% off of all clothing and boots. One Shot Gear is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
Have you been involved in an auto accident, slip and fall, or any other personal injury? I'm Kevin Flesh with Flesh Law, and I've been protecting victims' rights for over 17 years. If you want aggressive representation that will get you the money you deserve, then call me at 303-884-1037 or visit my website at fleshlaw.com. That's Flesh, F-L-E-S-C-H. I will give you the personal service you deserve, starting with a free consultation. Call me, 303-884-1037, or visit me at fleshlaw.com.
Freedom 560. Ken Clark. Weekday afternoons at 1 o'clock on KLZ 560.
Welcome back.
We started out really fast with the music at the beginning of the show, and now we're
getting a little slow.
There you go.
Slow dance.
Getting closer to the end of the hour.
I'm supposed to settle down.
That's right. Red.
I'm gonna soothe Red here.
Red's got a joke.
Red does have a joke.
Go, Red.
I was wanting to ask you a legal question, Kevin. You know, Scott and I are out hunting, and we come up to a fence, and there's a sign hanging on the fence that says, "Hunting by permission only."
Right.
And I said, "Scott, I give you permission."
That's right.
Scott said, "Red, I give you permission." So we just climbed over the fence and went hunting.
There you go. That's how it goes.
I mean,
yes. That's why I don't have the requirement, didn't we? Yes. That's why I have the blindfold on. And in that particular situation, I have earmuffs on as well.
Earmuffs.
So I don't hear any of it.
Well, I tell you what, check out. If you're not seeing things the way you need to, check out Stack Optical. They got the Stack Sports Pack. Again, just real quick, this is a one frame Alan is making for sunglasses. And then he will make the individual lenses for you in different colors to fit the different outdoor activities you may be doing. And also, if you need an optical correction one, maybe to see your sights a little bit better, maybe the pins on your bow, he can do that. You can bring your firearm or bow right into the store, and Alan will get you fixed up. So go to Stack Optical. Their number is 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578, $69 for an eye exam. And if you do the eye exam and you buy a pair of glasses, Alan will take $50 that you just spent out of that 69 and put that toward your glasses for you.
Oh, jeez.
So, terrific.
You know, and this time of year that we were talking when he was here a couple of weeks ago, too, with the fishing, the progressive lenses, fly fishing, getting the stupid tippet through the eyes of those size 24 midges that are hatching right now. It's a cool deal, and he does some really nice glasses. So
I picked up fly fishing with Lisa a couple of years ago, and I'm like, I should have started this when I was 18, not 50.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
It's going to get dark soon.
And it's the worst at dusk, because that's when the fishing is the best, and you're losing flies, and you can't tie them, and before you know it, you're ridiculously
So what are you going to be doing at Cabela's there on the 15th and 16th?
We're going to be teaching where to hunt, be talking about our hunt data here, and then just we kind of go with gear it towards it doesn't we don't really have a gear towards anyone. They just want we'll be talking about archery hunting because we're archery hunters. We'll talk about rifle hunting, whatever they want to talk about. We'll have a presentation.
Okay.
But we're going to definitely where to hunt and how to hunt it.
Well,
so
how
we're
to
there
attack,
to help people. And
like, just like the guy that called in, I don't even know where to start. So we'll help them build a strategy and how to get into. And we actually have, Colorado's the only place that is over-the-counter bull, that you can come in, pick up a bow and hunt in a good percentage of our units. Like, I don't know, two-thirds of our units are still over-the-counter. So we even have, if you go to myfreemap.com, people can go there right now, download. It's a statewide of Colorado. Right now I have a turkey map out there, but I'm getting ready to flip that to elk archery. They can download that. They can do that for free, and it's a statewide, shows the boundaries, so they can at least, and then we have it color-coded by what's over the counter. But Colorado is the only place you can come and just pick, go to Cabela's, go to Bass Pro, pick up your license and go hunt. I mean, all the other states you have to, you know, draw a tag, so it's still a great place to hunt out.
Yeah, a lot of people we've talked to said that they've missed the draw, or they didn't even know about a draw because they're new to Colorado. And we're like, that's okay. Donnell said two-thirds. I think it's like 90% of our area is over-the-counter. So if that's okay. You'll just get in it next year, but there's a lot of hunting. Again, this is the only state in the union that you can show up the night before an elk hunt, buy a bull tag over-the-counter, and go hunt.
That's right.
Right. And leftover tags should be going on sale here, and I think it's July?
I was thinking July 27th, and why I think that, I don't know.
See, I want to say it's the beginning of August, like August 7th or 8th, somewhere
okay,
in there.
Okay, right. And we will confirm that next week.
Yeah, but
sure
look for the
dates.
Leftover draws. What that is people have put in for special draws, and let's say the quota for a unit that they put in for was 200 and only 150 people applied.
Right.
There's still 50 tags in that unit. Mm-hmm. So just for people out there that are listening, leftovers are a great place to pick up a really fun tag. And they were special draws that were undersubscribed. And so that will be coming out. In our class, we'll be talking. You will not leave our class feeling like you're going into a unit blind. If you tell us you're going into 86 or whatever, 42, you'll leave our class knowing the unit of the concentrations and that sort of thing. So,
what do you got done now?
August 4th.
August 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So you can go down to. Now you do it. I believe you have to go down to Division of Wildlife.
Says leftover licenses are over-the-counter, go on sale August 4th in person or by phone. Then they go on sale online at midnight August 5th.
Okay. That's okay. I knew there was one day. Then they go online.
And then the big stores have an update every day. So if you go into like a Sportsman's Warehouse or a Sports Authority, I don't even know, but anywhere that sells a license. But I know like Cabela's does, they have a list. And every day it's like as of 5 o'clock, this is what's left. Now, if there's only two or three tags, it might have changed. But if it's 50, chances are there's still a tag. And you can get C tags too. Again, in Colorado, you can hunt an elk with an A tag, a bull. You can't have two A tags though. You can have an A tag and a B tag, and as many C tags as you can get your hands on, or you can have two B tags and C tags. But you can't have the key is knowing do you have an A tag. Usually, all bull tags are A tags, and all special draws are A tags.
Right. Last couple of minutes here. Archery coming up pretty quick. What do you guys do to prepare for that? And when do you, I mean, are you already, do y'all shoot?
I have a brand new area that I'm actually checking out. It's super secret, so I can't tell you. But we're actually going to go up fishing next Friday up in this area. So we're just going to kind of get an idea if anything's there now. They're calving between May and June 15th. So we should be seeing some calving activity. And then I'll revisit it again in August, and then I'll make a decision on, because I actually have a fourth season A tag because it's a limited area. But I'm deciding whether I can still trade that out. I can go to a Division of Wildlife and trade it out because I can't hunt archery bull, and I know what happens when I don't have a bull tag because I can do an archery cow tag, but I know I'm going to see a massive bull if I do that. So
it always works.
It's just how it works. But no, so I'll go do a scouting trip. You know, close to the week before. Sometimes we'll just do spotting scopes, and we won't get our scent in there. We're looking at ridge lines. We're not just going in there going, hey, we're here, because what we found every year, there's one area we do over the counter. We can get into bulls every day opening weekend. We never see them again the rest of the season. So once you start getting some activity in some of those places, those bulls get pushed into private land, et cetera.
Right.
But to answer your question, we're practicing. Yeah. We were bow hunting turkeys, so we practice when we can if we're not running kids around or doing something. But I'm just getting prepared. I mean, I know it's months away, but, you know, get prepared. I take a lot of people out. We both do family and friends. And I flat tell them, if you haven't practiced, and not even with your bow, if you haven't shot your rifle, I'm not taking you out. It doesn't give justice to the animal. I don't think it's fair if you're just winging shots and you haven't even practiced. So I have a
family member that always says, I don't have time to go to the range. And I said, well, I don't have time to take you. Because, right. I mean, what you find is you invest so much time and money and getting up early, and you get out there and they shoot and miss. And like, oh, my scope's off. And you're like,
yeah.
Really? It's just... Yeah.
Well, ladies, thank you. It's been fun. I know it took a lot to get here after you locked your keys in your car. I get to say that again. So thank you so much, and thank the fire department out in
Castle Rock
that helped you and saved you. All right. Huntdata.com. Check out the website. Again, next Saturday, June 13th, we will be live at the Outdoorsman Attic. That's 2650 West Hamden. And I've actually got one more of the Hunt Data Colorado Hunting Unit maps in my hand. I will bring that, and we will give that away next week as well.
They can also go to myfreemap.com, and they can go out there and get a statewide one free.
All right.
They just want to play with the software.
All right. Thank you, ladies, so much. Kevin Flesh, Red Merrill, my name is Scott Whatley. Everybody have a great weekend. Be safe. Hopefully the rain will stay away. We will talk to you next week.
KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.